That wasn't a very loud clap.
Oh, Harry.
It wasn't.
I want to welcome everybody again to Outside the Beltway of Healthcare. I think this is our special holiday edition, Harry.
Indeed.
You know, on the drive in this morning, I was thinking about one of my favorite movies, When Harry Met Sally, and one of my favorite scenes, which is not necessarily the scene that many people think of, but it's a scene, if you recall, where Billy Crystal takes off on New Year's Eve to run down to Meg Ryan and really express his love. And I wanted to do the same. It had to be you. God. It had to be you. I wandered around and finally found someone who knew politics too. But nobody else gives me a thrill. Even though your predictions are practically nil, it had to be you, wonderful you. It had to be you.
So if I'm Harry, are you Sally? Is that?
Well, you know, that's kind of an interesting question. Actually, the name of the show is actually When Barry Met Sally. So I'm not sure exactly. Now, you know, I was going to sing a happy Hanukkah song or a Hanukkah song. There's a problem, though. There's only Had a Little Dreidel. And then there's It's Time for Hanukkah by Adam Sandler. And I figured that probably was not politically correct. And after all, this is a political correctness show. So indeed. Anyways, Harry, I want to thank you for a very fun year of your brain and fantastic predictions over the year.
Well, I mean, I think it's both of us, Barry. I mean, you know, I want to say thank you to you. I mean, you've been terrific, and you know, and you really should have gone into singing. You should have done a music career, Barry. You really should have.
Thank you. But I don't think my wife believes that to be the case. But I think next year, maybe I'll record from the house and play a little piano and sing, and then I'm just going to hang up practicing as a lawyer at that point in time. But my friend,
yes, sir.
We are at the near end of the year. This is our final recording of the year, I do believe. And
yes,
for Sinead, we're up to what? Our producer over here, Sinead, always. Sinead, give us an update. How are we doing?
We're up from 1,500 to 1,700 viewers. So
1,700.
That's a huge number. And can I tell you something? So I had a friend that we work with call me, and he said, you know, let me just tell you something, Harry, those numbers are astounding. And we're really not doing the huge push to get these folks to download the podcast. So thank you so much, everybody, for listening. This is terrific.
Oh, really? It's fantastic. And as we said again, although Sinead, I don't think this is materialized yet. To send all questions to Harry or you, please, no questions to me. And we will attempt our best to have
actually
Harry answer them.
We did get a comment. Yeah, we did get a comment, and I'll address that comment a little bit later.
Oops,
on
sorry.
In the program. A little bit later on the program, we will address the comment. So,
okay. All right. So we have been dealing with a bouncing ball up and down, Harry. I don't know, since the first day we started this, talking about infrastructure, talking about the budget reconciliation, Build Back America bill. And here we are sitting December 21st. We're not going to have a Build Back America bill this year. What's happened?
Well, what's happened? Here's what's happened. Joe Manchin, the senator from West Virginia, said the same thing that he's been saying over and over and over again. I find it interesting. I don't think the man has not changed his position at all from the beginning of this process. I mean, some say that he's been moving the goalposts back. And I mean, I guess to some degree, that probably has been the case. He has been moving the goalposts back a bit, but he has remained consistent throughout this entire process of where he wanted to see this bill, how he wanted to see it play out. And over the weekend, he was on the Fox News program with Bret Baier. And you could tell by Bret Baier's face on that program that it took him just as much by surprise, because he wasn't expecting that the senator from West Virginia would come out and just give a flat out no. He is not going to vote for Build Back Better. He's not going to do it. He said if he can't explain it to the people of West Virginia, then he can't do it. And you could see in Bret Baier's face the look of shock that he just broke this this story. It has derailed things a bit. However, let me just tell you all, legislation in Washington is never necessarily dead. It's like you're watching the program The Walking Dead. You think it's dead, but then it just somehow it comes up and starts making this hissing sound as it's walking toward you, and you don't know what to do. This bill is, elements of this bill are not dead. So the Congress has to do some things here in the next few weeks when it comes back after the new year. It's going to have to do an emergency supplemental package to help the victims of the tornadoes that took place in Kentucky and elsewhere. Devastating natural disaster that took place. Be prepared to see some of the provisions of Build Back Better to be inserted into that emergency supplemental bill. I would be astounded if we don't see provisions, inserted into that supplemental bill.
Yeah,
and that could make it very difficult for a minority leader, McConnell, being that his state is one of the states that requires that supplemental disaster relief.
That's right. And our hearts go out really to all of the family members and friends in Kentucky that lost loved ones. Property is certainly secondary to the lives that were lost, but that's going to be difficult for sure, Harry. The question then is, you talk about the pieces that might reappear. We spend a lot of time, this program is about healthcare policy, what may or may not happen in the future. Some of the big pieces of the legislation have been the expansion of benefits we've talked about, hearing, dental, vision. And then also, although this has been bouncing around also, the prescription drug pricing reform provisions, which had kind of kicked around and disappeared a little bit from the final legislation. But, we talked about that. That was always lurking as to whether or not that would get dropped in. So if we're sitting here looking at those, what pieces maybe were very popular and maybe had bipartisan support that we could see reappearing in some kind of legislation, expansion of benefits, prescription drug, where do you see that falling?
That is a good question. When you say what pieces are particularly popular, remember that the debate that's going on right now is a debate that's going on within the Democratic caucus in the Congress. The Republicans are not necessarily part of this debate. Actually, it's not even not necessarily. The Republicans are not in this debate. They have been shut out. Now, let me just say, and this is where I want to, we got a suggestion, and I want to correct the record here on the suggestion that we received.
Okay.
We got a suggestion.
Okay, all right. Wait a second. All right. You have to correct the record.
You're going to correct.
All right. Okay. All right. Everybody, Harry's going to clarify something.
It's not correcting the record. I think the person who's been listening felt as though when we were talking about the Democratic caucus debating with itself and closing out the Republicans from the debate, made a comment that is absolutely true, which is during the reconciliation bill to do the Trump tax cuts, the Democrats had no say-so at all with that process.
That's true.
And, you know, that bill went through without a hearing, you know, nothing. And I want to just say that, you know, both parties play this game. So yes, that is something that happens. And again, when we talked about the budget gimmicks that are in this bill, both parties do this in terms of, you know, the budget gimmicks to not have the full 10 years of a program, to lessen the score that the Congressional Budget Office is going to determine. So, but in terms of what is going to end up in a bill that comes down the pike here, where we with the emergency supplemental and or whatnot, that's anybody's guess, Barry. Because I don't. Everybody has it. Everybody in the Democratic caucus, the different groups in the caucus, have different priorities. So, whose priority is going to win out to get into that bill? That's the question.
That is the $64,000 question. I support the expansion of the hearing aid and hearing benefit under Medicare, primarily because I think that you're pretty close to qualifying, and that perhaps would listen better. So
thank you.
Or hear better.
I appreciate that.
You're welcome.
It's kind
all
of
right. So really, I'm just going to kind of put it out there. It is kind of hard to see exactly with a crystal ball where things are going to land. And we don't need to, we've talked about this. We don't need to predict what will happen with midterms that are out there. But it isn't the possibility that everything just gets kicked over until both parties candidly see how that plays out in the fall of next year?
Well, that, again, it's going to be very difficult. And the longer we get into next year, I mean, we're 11 months away from midterm elections, right? Something like that. You know, we're less than a year away. The further and further you get into this year, next year, the harder and harder it is to get things done. So we do have some must-pass pieces of legislation that need to get done next year. The User Fee Acts, for instance, the Prescription Drug Benefit User Fee Act, the Medical Device User Fee Act, and the Generic Drug User Fee Acts. Those are must-pass pieces of legislation.
Yeah, we talked about this, and I don't think the user fees are very well understood by many folks. Could you just break that down in terms sure. of like what does that mean and what has to be done next year?
So right now, you have industry organizations like pharma, which is the Pharmaceutical Industry Trade Association, mm-hmm. AdvaMed, which is the Medical Device Trade Association, AAM, which is the Generic Drug Trade Association. All of these folks and other stakeholders are in and they're negotiating user fees with the Food and Drug Administration. These are the user fees that the private industry pays into the FDA to approve their products. It gives them that baseline, that you know, that money to go through or give FDA the funding to do the approval process for these products that are coming out. Generally, the trade associations want to see clean bills, meaning no other extraneous material in the bill. However, these bills present an opportunity to many in the pharmaceutical community, in the medical device community, and in the generic community to correct certain programs that the FDA is conducting, because it gives them an avenue. So a legislative avenue to correct programs. So people try to insert provisions into the bill to direct the agency to do things a certain way, et cetera. So the User Fee Acts generally are bipartisan pieces of legislation But I am with the amount of rhetoric that's taking place, with everything on the line in terms of the majorities in both the House and Senate, I think even the user fee acts are going to be a difficult process to go through in terms of getting a bipartisan piece of legislation.
And for the user fee acts, you have to bundle all this all together. Could you do like a user fee act vis-a-vis the FDA process? Or once kind of you open the door to one user act, you got to deal with all of the user act issues at one time?
Well, there are three separate bills that generally get melded into one, right? And they'll give the bill a fun little title that everybody can remember, right? You know, one year it was the faster access to, you know, to specialized treatments, or, you know, Fast Act or whatever. So this is what generally takes place. I do think we'll see a user fee acts happen probably by spring, summer. We'll see these things happen, but it's going to be a little bit of a slog to get these things done, because everybody's going to want to get a piece in there, because this is a every 5 year reauthorization.
Yeah. So I toss this out there because there's another wild card. I was talking about this, and I'm sure everybody does at their family. We're coming up on 2 years of a pandemic. And I think in January
we're in a pandemic. There's a pandemic, really?
Yeah, I was searching for my mask this morning because my car is out of masks, and had to find one on the floor. My apologies to get up to my building. I was just thinking about that 2 years of looking for boxes of masks, and now we have the Omicron variant, and this is playing out. And I'm wondering also, is there a scuttlebutt that perhaps there needs to be another stimulus bill that would be necessary for the economy in first Q, second Q of next year, or is that just dependent upon too many factors and unknowns at this point in time?
I've heard a scuttlebutt about it, but nothing concrete. But I have heard scuttlebutt about it.
Scuttlebutt.
The issue right now is, how is the Omicron variant going to play out? Now, if we look at the numbers in South Africa or Africa, we saw an increase and then a steep decline. And that's generally the way this pandemic has been going, right? You see this spike and then it drops like a stone. So some folks believe that, you know, by end of January, February, we'll see that steep decline. Now, this variant, again, there's different news on it. It seems to be more mild, but then, you know, others will say, you know, it's still as deadly as the Delta variant and the one before that. So, really, it's time will tell how this thing plays out. I can tell you from my standpoint, though. I mean, my sons, you know, both in school, their school got shut down. 20 some kids had COVID, right? And these are all vaccinated kids that had COVID. So, and they're shut down until the beginning of the year, until next year. So we'll see how this thing plays out. I'm hoping, let's hope that we don't see lockdowns and, you know, businesses being put out of work, et cetera.
Who knows?
I mean, let's just hope and pray.
It's hard to predict. I mean, you know, we saw an acceleration really in the NFL really would be about 10 days ago. And 75 players, right, are out. I'm a football fanatic, and it totally changed the games this weekend, reshuffling games Monday, Tuesday night games, and it does feel like it was a little bit of one step forward, two steps back, in terms of where we are. By the way, I'm not going to sing that song today, but that's a Paula Abdul song, a former Ellie cheerleader who then became a pop star, two steps forward, one step back. Okay. Anyways, I shouldn't, no humor is allowed with regard to our program, in case you haven't noticed. But Harry, so we just kind of, we're going into a lot of wild cards for 2022. And we've also got a number of regulatory pieces that are working their way through CMS. And I would say also, it's been a little bit of an up and down roller coaster in terms of policy. I think a couple of things I'd like to talk about next year, other than my ducks, which are doing okay, 11 ducks, telehealth, changes that may be happening in Medicare for technology, device reimbursement. There's a lot of floating pieces in the Medicare program. And then we'll see, for those of you who follow the regulatory calendar, we're going to come into the regulatory calendar starting in April and May, ultimately working to some big pieces of federal rules every year that are proposed down to the physician fee schedule. I think we're going to have a lot of moving pieces as we work into next year, independent of what happens, you know, with legislation. So I'm hoping that we can have some folks smarter than, I was going to say you and I, but at least smarter than you to join us. I hope you know, anyways. So Sinead is just sitting there as always. She just shakes her head. I wish you could see her. We should do this video sometime. She just never knows what's going to come out of my mouth. And she's just up and down.
Well, Barry, none of us really know what's going to come out of your mouth. And it's, you know, just to let everybody know, it's Barry's world. We're all just living in it. But I, you know, to follow up on what you just said for next year, I do think, for folks listening, and thank you for listening, we're going to have guests on. There's a couple of members of Congress that are interested in joining us, which I think is great. Some folks that we work with are interested in joining up and talking to us, which again, I think is great. And obviously colleagues within our firm will be joining us next year too. So I think, I want to say thank you to everybody though, for, you know, giving us this opportunity and actually listening to us. It's nice that you all are listening to us, because, you know, I mean, I don't really have anybody here listening to me at home. So it's great that somebody's listening to us. And
yeah, this is a small round of applause that we give back to our, right, to our audience, that has suffered some torturous jokes and highlighted, I think, by a few songs. I'm Just a Bill as well, which by the way, it took me, for the record, it took me about an hour and a half to look up all those words just so that I could share that song with you and then rememorize it. So
you actually,
there's a lot of hard work that goes into these programs. Wait, I don't think
you actually
think
prepared for that?
Yeah, no, we don't just hop on these calls and, you know.
I thought that was completely ad-libbed off.
You
thought
so? I try and make it like that too.
Look at that.
Some days, but you know, we got to prepare a touch. All well, right. Look. We're going to keep this one a little bit on time, Sinead, and short. She's like, thank God. We'll wish you again, Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, belated Happy Hanukkah, I think we've said. And I guess that rolls to Merry Christmas Kwanzaa
for Happy New Year, everybody, to all of our Russian Orthodox friends. Merry Christmas on January 7th. And there you have it.
All right, folks. Again, thank you. We will see you next year and looking forward to it. Have a great one.
Take care, everybody.
We want to remind listeners that the choice of a lawyer and lobbyist is an important decision and should not be based solely on advertising. The information and discussions in this podcast do not constitute legal advice, and listeners should consult legal counsel regarding their specific subject matter. Thank you for listening to Inside Law, a podcast produced by Polsinelli.